been our scripture for the series, and we base it on really the first of something. So when God called out this through the Apostle Paul, he talked about truth first. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, always think about what is, somebody shout, true. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, true. There you are, good. And the principle of first, he built everything on truth there. That word in the Greek is aliphase, which means to speak the truth, to have a truthful life, to have a foundation of truth, and everything is built on truth. And if you do that, then everything else is a little bit better. You think about what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is worthy of respect, anything excellent or worthy of these praise, think of these kinds of things. What if we could just shift the mind and put that into our head, and that could come from the inside out of us? And I think that that's pretty evident for God's people to do. It's pretty opposite, again, of the world, isn't it? These standards, truth, noble, yeah. The television that we kind of consume and watch as people here in America, they say 91% of sexual intimacy on television when you watch Scandal, when you watch The Bachelor, can I continue, Chicago PD, what are the other favorites? The Walking Dead, whatever it might be that you watch, and amen, I got my favorites too, amen, but we don't go there, I'm preaching to you guys, amen. But they say 91% of those people that are having intimacy sexually on these programs, they're not married. And they're portraying that on the big screen. And you go, well, what's up with that? Well, there's a way that God wants to do relationship. And he calls it covenant, not convenience, or he doesn't call it contract or just something. And God wants to show us his way. How is it working out for them on television and so forth? Not too good, probably, because it is make-believe. But you think about the world, how it brings hurt, how it brings disappointment, how it brings disillusionment, how things that aren't pleasant happen to them. All that is going to happen when we open up the non-favor of God or things that we invite in today. I know this. I'm God's child. And you're God's son and daughter in this room today. But I've had hurts. I've had disappointments. I've had unpleasant things happen to me and my family. Who hasn't? But there's a huge difference because I have God now. I'm his son. God the Father. The difference is I'm not alone. I'm never forsaken. And not that I'm any better than the world. I'm just blood bought. I've been purchased with a price. I submit to the ways of God. And just like you, we have God in our lives and we're never alone. Is that okay with anybody here? Yeah. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, but that's still good. Amen. And so doing relationships the right way, doing them God's way, doing them not the wrong way according to the world. So if you would, open your Bibles to Malachi. Malachi, there's the Italian prophet that God saved. It's Malachi. Just to see if nobody's awake here. Amen. You'll catch it later at 3 in the morning. True commitment today. And we want to speak of that. And there's some examples here that you'll have. I've noticed in the bigger room that we got, when you laugh, I can't hear as well. Because nobody's laughing, fool. That's what you're probably telling me, right? And now you're laughing, amen. There's some examples that we have about the world's way. When you have a Malachi 2:13, say amen. Amen, look it up. And here we go. The world's way. You have this in your bullet points on your message notes today. And the world's way really is you find the right person. I got to find the one. I got to find the one that completes me, my soulmate. You complete me. I found the one, right? You hear about that all the time. That's the world's way. And it's like you're on a hunt. You're hunting. You know, it's venison season. Amen. Bring me some of that good venison. Amen. If you're hunting. But it's almost like a hunt again. And the second point would be that you fall in love. You fall, I fell. It's like a ditch. I can't get out of this ditch. I fell. I'm in love. You know, what I find amazing is about the covenant that you made. When I hear stories or thoughts, and even in church sometimes, well, I fell out of love, but I fell in love with this one. In that covenant that I made before God and man, that's there, but I put it away because that doesn't even matter to me. It was just some sort of ceremony. Didn't mean anything, and I fell in love with this one. Do you understand that today? I'm going to speak into the pain that you may be facing, but that's okay. We're going to go and do it God's way here. Fix all your hopes and dreams on them. That means they're the one, that they're your source. You make me happy. I plug into you. You make me happy. You're my source. And no one is humanly possible that's a human being. That's all of us in this room that can give you your hopes and dreams. And if you're putting it all into them or all into her or him, you're going to be disappointed over and over again, and you're going to lead into four, which is failure is going to occur. Repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. Isn't that insanity to keep repeating that? It sure is. It is. Amen, Mario. You're preaching good today. Amen. Just stay encouraged. There's a generation that we're living in today, and it's an unusual generation because we have a new thing called dating. It's relatively new to our culture. It began like in the 1920s, 30s. It is pretty new to generations. They didn't do dating back in the day. The Bible doesn't even speak of dating. Did you know that? There's no book about dating. There is biblical courtship. Y'all understand that today? And so if we do it God's way, it's always better. And I'm not opposed to you getting to know anybody, but you should do it God's way if you're a single person in this room today. My son, Andrew, when he was in middle school, of course, we've always preached mom and dad. We've learned principles, and we're not a perfect family. Neither are my son and daughter. We're not a perfect people. I hope you know that. Amen? Amen. Some of y'all, yeah, you're about to throw a rock at me. And I remember my son on Facebook, there was a picture of him, and I got a phone call, and I didn't see the picture until I got the phone call. His brother called me from the church and said, "Hey, I think your son has a girlfriend." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, look at his Facebook page." And so they tagged him, and there he was with a girl like this. And that girl was like, kind of like, you're creeping me out. And I even showed him that picture. I said, "Look at this girl, how she's looking at you." I said, "How come I need to find out on Facebook through a church member that you have a girlfriend, bro?" I told him that. You know, that's what we talk at home. He was in middle school. He's about 14, maybe. And I go, "Man, I don't believe that, man. You couldn't have a talk with your dad about you?" And he says, "You know, it's okay, Dad. All of them have girlfriends and all that stuff." And I said, "You know, I wish you would have talked to me about this, because you know how I feel about that, you know." And so there he goes. A couple of weeks later, he breaks up with this girl, and Irma had a talk with him. And now Irma preaches at home. And she's a hot preacher, amen. She got all into his grill, man. Jesus came to Andrew that day in the form of Irma. They had a come to Jesus meeting, and I was there in the pew, man. I was going, "Amen." I was eating, you know. I was just watching it take place. I enjoyed it because Andrew learned something completely different about relationships. Of course, we didn't approve, but she also told them like this, said, "You know that girl that you broke up with and hurt? She has a heart, and she's not disposable." I remember those words so clearly. These aren't disposable, son, relationships that you deal with in life today. And at 14, he had that relationship, and I know he probably liked other girls because he's human, and my daughter also, young men and all that stuff. But all along, we wanted to guard their hearts. Because we've learned through the school of hard knocks, like you've probably learned, that if you break up enough in your teenage years, in your young adult years, and you keep breaking up, there's a cycle. It almost teaches you how to get divorced. Well, I broke up with her when I was 12 and my heart was broken. I broke up with her when I was 14 and my heart was broken, but I found somebody else. I got tired of her when I was 18 and now I found somebody else. And what's going to happen in the storm of marriage when you get tired? Oh, well, we made a covenant. Yeah, and it better stay true, right? But you see the past behind us that leaves behind us that we can just... dating almost brings a culture of that I can get a divorce later. Am I preaching to the choir today? Well, one person says no, and that's okay, amen. Keep listening because it's biblical what I'm telling you today, amen. If you want to listen to biblical courtship, there's probably a lot out there on the internet. Just punch in biblical courtship sermon. And there might be some still on our website because we've called it, we've done it this way for years today. We really don't encourage dating the world's way. We encourage biblical courtship. Isn't that good today? Yeah. I want to go to a church that way. I don't know about you. I'll be the only one here. Me and you, babe, right? Together. Amen. God's way is this way. Become the right person. That means, God, you're preparing me for my two because you're my one. Lord, you're preparing me to be a good father one day because we're going to have children. Lord, I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. That's what I used to pray. Lord, you know you're going to make me a blessing to somebody. Amen. Just prepare me the way I need to be, Lord. Amen. And there she was. She got blessed so much. She's on the front row now. And so it leads me to walk in love. That means where you ask God, Lord, that I would be the person that I need to not walk in love, that I would walk in love, not emotion, not feeling, because God's not a God of emotion. He's not a feely-feely God. He just makes that choice. The Bible says in Colossians to put on love. That means you make the choice of love. Say, I make the choice. Come on, everybody. I make the choice of love. Yeah, you make the choice. It's an act of my will, so it's not an emotion, and that's God's way. Number three, fix your hopes and dreams on God. That's where God empowers you. That's where you start doing God, the Father comes, and and I believe the local church is so important in this venue because that's where you work it out amongst relationships. You do relationships with your brother and sister here. You're accountable to people. You get submitted to people. You learn from people today. You're teachable. Amen? We learn from each other. We learn to say, hey, I missed it. Forgive me. I offended you. My heart is broken with your heart. Amen? Now let's get up and let's walk on. Right? Is that okay with everybody? Yeah? So if failure occurs, notice a big difference on this. The big difference is a lot alike, but they're the world's way as you compare it with God's way on your message notes. If failure occurs, repeat 1, 2, and 3. And there's a huge difference from the world's way to what God's way is. Don't you want to do it God's way? Yeah? And so most marriages fail because of lack of commitment. No matter how good you are in this room, you're going to have a bad day. You're going to have a rough day. Can I hear a good amen? Amen? And because of that, you need people that are committed to you, especially your two. When we signed the contract to construct the building and to do all the stuff, man, the church council got a little bit involved, but Dennis Lindquist and I got big time involved in all the stuff that we could get sued over. Dennis made me sign. He's smart, isn't he? He was at our first service. And so signing away, and then Foursquare had to sign some stuff that was real important with their board and signed away because there was some liability involved in this thing. And then when we got our mortgage thing, sign away. Man, I signed it. Man, I was just putting an X after a while. I was signing it Ronald Reagan after a while. Yeah. Signing away, because we live in a contract world. And we've even crept that into our marriages and our most important covenant relationships that we should have, not contract. And I want to make sure that we have this mentality that if I'm going to get messed over, I'm going to mess you over because I got your name on this thing. And if I don't get my back scratched, you're not going to get your back scratched. Do you understand what sort of world we live in? It's a contract world and God wants covenant. Because we serve a covenant-keeping God who keeps his promises. I wanted the scripture to be on your heart, so I intentionally didn't put it in your notes. And it speaks in Hebrews of the never God. Not that he's never going to show up, that he's never going to forsake you. He's never going to leave your side. Never, never, ever will I leave you. Never will, ever, ever will I, what? God said that to you and me because he's so committed to you. He's so relentless to you. He's so fierce towards you to pursue you today. And he can't do without you today. God's almost like this serial stalker. He's driving by your house in a good way, right? Is she home? You know, and I thank God for that today, amen. I know, here's what I discovered. Mexican people don't sign prenups. You know why? Because we ain't got any money, amen. Anyway, so it's always good, amen. We want to be covenant people, not contract people. Is that okay? Would you smile at me just a little bit? Somebody, good, there you are, bro. Me and you, bro, amen. We're good together. The thought of this in Malachi 2:13. Here we go, in your Bible gateway. Tweet something good if you're on Twitter. Say, he's preaching good, finally. do a shout out for me, but come back to the Bible after a while. Okay, Malachi 2:13. You flood, and some people don't like this because it's Old Testament. It's a little bit harsh, but if you look through it, even the law has love in it, and God's law has love. And here's the love in it. Even when he tries to give us some preventative medicine, it's written in love. You flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because no longer I look on you with favor of your offerings or accept them with pleasure in my hands. What's happening? You're coming to church and you're coming to the, and you ask why? Why, Lord? Why don't I feel you or experience you anymore? It is because the Lord is your witness between you and the wife of your youth. And I notice here the Bible, it can go both ways in the sense of the wife, or it speaks directly to husbands because of what headship is in the Word of God, but it takes two today. Amen? And the spouse is with us today. Your husband, we both value this relationship right now in the Scripture today. And you've been unfaithful to her, and she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant today. And that is why the why is happening, because the unfaithfulness that has taken place in the marriage today. Show me the next slide. Has not the one God made you? You belong to Him in spirit and truth. And again, as God's child here, you're part of the Father. You look just like your daddy. You look like you have the tendencies because God lives within you. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. And that's what God intended, that you would leave a legacy behind in your exampleship. Not that you are perfect, but you followed God and you lived for God. And then they saw what you did as an example, and they gleamed from your example today. It's just too hard. No, it's not. You can do all things through Christ today. And so be on guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth today. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord God of Israel, does violence to the one that he should protect, says the Lord God Almighty. So be on guard and do not be unfaithful. I found this pretty incredible to me, and I've always looked at it and said, what does that mean today? It means that when the storm came, when the violence came, when all the bad stuff happens, and it will happen in a relationship, the test came, that you ran off, that you didn't stay together, that it was broken, and hard pressing times came. And that's why God hates divorce, because he wants to put something together so beautifully that you become literally one and you stay together no matter what, even in the middle of the storm, that you're not fighting each other, that you're coming together and being even stronger. And so with a great covenant towards you today, as I speak to covenant people today in this room, I want you not to stay in an abusive relationship, because that's when the police need to be called. But this isn't what I'm speaking about today. Well, what if they're, doing, well, then you need to call the police or call the men of faith over. Amen. And for $50, we'll hurt the guy. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, get help if there's abuse. Amen. But in urbanized relationship, it's okay if she knows I'm unhappy for a while because of the way she's been behaving. And y'all need to pray for the sister. She's not going to walk on eggshells. Is he about to leave? Is he about to leave? Because he told me last time that he's given me one more chance. And if I make him mad one more time, that's no way to live with anybody. It's Russian roulette with a bullet, amen, a couple of bullets in the chamber. You don't live the violence. When the storm comes, that's when you should protect the most. Do you understand? And so that's why relationship really gets good when she can express, or I can express my feelings that, hey, I just don't appreciate this about you, which I do quite often. And she's okay. She's not going to walk away from me. And no matter how bad it gets, we're going to stay together. Is that okay? And we must be the same way today. I found, I'm going to hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. No, I'm going to put the words on the screen. Here we go. I found this phrase, and I found it incredible. I found it in an Andy Stanley book. And That guy's just such a genius, man. He does. True commitment means staying faithful to what you said that you were going to do long after the mood that you said left you. Long after the wedding cake's been eaten, long after the bedroom experience has happened, long after that happened. See, I do lots of weddings, being a pastor, right? And so I've taken them through there's the violins playing, the rose petals or whatever they might be, the grand cake with the five tiers, the awesome reception, in the band, the DJ. It's all happened. I've seen it happen. But what's incredible, I'm never going to leave, for better or for worse, in sickness or in health, for richer or for poor, right? And then they get to that part, until death do us. And that's the only condition. I think I'm going to start counseling people this way. Is there anything else that would stop your union from not staying together besides death? Is there? Well, what if we're real? If he doesn't get a job for it says in richer for poorer, right? And you picked a poor man. Give me. Is there another reason to end the courtship? And we can go deeper in that. We'll do that. Staying committed doesn't count until the storm hits. I admire basketball teams like the San Antonio Spurs because they stay together. Man, wasn't it an incredible win yesterday? I peeked in a little bit on saw the game there. But I admire that, man, because they're battle-tested Spurs. They've been together. The big three have stayed together. Coach Pop through the years. I admire that team. But why don't we do that in marriage about them people staying together, longevity, right? Why don't we hurrah that? How about the workplace? We stay together. The army stays together. They're battle-tested. But more so, do we need it in relationship? I say yes, we do. And you might be pushing back a little bit, but I kind of want you to just not push back and just listen to me. I can't do this marriage thing. I can't do this. I can't stay with this man. I can't stay with this woman. They disappointed me. But how about this? There's a scripture that says, I can do all things. That means you and me. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. That's the key. Somebody say through Christ. And if you do it through Jesus, then you can do all things that strengthen you, that make you stronger to do the things of God today. Right, everybody? I'm not going to suffer in marriage. Our marriages at Living Faith are going to thrive. Thank God for it. Because there's power in covenant relationships. You're single in this room. There's power in covenant relationships with the people of God, with your friends, amen, that serve the Lord together. I have long-term relationships with some of the people in this room, almost as long as I'd known my wife, actually. I knew some, and that's incredible to me. I'm humbled that people would stay with us that long. I've known Howard many years. I knew him when he was single, crazy, driving this truck, man. I mean, I knew Howard. And I want to just ask you, Howard, this, because I asked a guy in the first service. I knew him about a little bit duration time shorter. And so you're not going to say the wrong answer because I know you. But, Howard, have I ever made you mad? Say it louder.
Yes.
Good. Hey, don't be mad, dude. What's wrong? So I've made you mad, Howard. And then have you ever thought about leaving?
Every day.
Now, Howard, I want you to ask me because you're so brave. You've sang that song, You Made Me Brave. ask me, Mario, have you ever been mad at me or upset with me? Ask me, just like.
Have you ever been mad at me, Mario?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've been a. Kind of. They say the average pastorate is less than 4 years in America. I've been here 15 years plus, Irma and I. Now, here's the thing, though. Here's what I thought about. I said, well, maybe nobody else wants me. I got to stay in this marriage. Amen. How's that? No. There's a wandering consumerism that we have, even for church shopping, even for have there been hard times at this church? You better believe it, man. we faced our own here, and thank you, Jesus. But in the middle of the storm, that's where loyalty takes place, not only towards me, but towards you. That's where the hard pressing comes in, and you don't walk away from each other. You stay together. Again, if the pastor's running off with the money, the secretary, and doing immoral things, then leave. I'll go with you, amen? But don't leave over the guy that gets angry every now and then, amen, because he's human. You don't do that in your marriage, do you? No, you don't. I hope not. He puts up with you. You put up with him, amen? We stay together, bad breath and all, amen? Thank you, Jesus. There's one commitment that we should have, and the true commitment, not only in our families, in our church, as single people here, Christian people, we don't learn about God. We experience God. Moses did on a mountain with a burning bush. Paul riding on a horse, Saul of Damascus got thrown. He experienced God. I want you to experience these principles that I'm going to give you. I want you to realize them. I want you to experience them. I want them to come alive in you. So when you read the Bible and we look at the verses, the Bible, yeah, we read it, but then the Bible begins to read you. Somebody say, it reads me. It scans you. And that's the best word of God. And God began to read me. Number one is this. Here's how we experience it. We experience it because God has done all of these five principles to us in our lives. God has said over your life, I commit to prioritize you. You're it. There's nobody else. And work sometimes takes the place of our relationships, our primary relationships on this thing. And sometimes I've confused my relationship with God as his church. And it shouldn't be. It's my job. You understand that? And so you've taken the place sometimes of my marriage, which is very short-lived because Irma lets me know, give me a good amen. And I let her know now because she's spending so much time here. Hey, come back. You're part of my house, Irma. Just come. You don't need to live at the church. Come with me. Is that okay with everybody? Y'all are smiling. She's still the primary relationship. So are my children after that. And that's why the other John 3:16 says this. And so this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Even when we were sinners, that other scripture says, when we weren't doing right, he still had the priority of you and me, right? And so here's the example. Because God did it, he did it, I can do it. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters today. Is that okay with everybody? He did it, so I can. Why don't you declare that with me? He did it, so I can. Again, the strength of God comes in you when you do that. We put God first and everything works together. The second thought is this. I commit to pursue you. God the Father says that over your life. And then because he did it, you can do it. You can pursue that one. All of you in this room that are married probably began your relationships in hot pursuit of each other. You got the roses. Valentine's was such an important day for you. You prayed over it. You did for it. Amen. You did what. And every even the simplest little gift was big time. Do you remember that? You need to go back to that way. You need to continue to write the notes. You continue to flirt with your wife. Give me a good amen. And it's not a feeling. I don't feel it anymore. Well, you make the choice to love. Aren't you glad God's still loving you? It's not a choice. It's not an emotion. He loves you, right, everybody? God pursues you. Many of you, during our incredible worship time that Mike led us on this morning, God wanted to come, and he was saying, there it is, I want to come, and he did a little bit of, not yet, God, not yet. See, God's still pursuing you. God loves you. He makes the choice. God is a God of desire. He desires you. He pursues you. He's relentless towards you. He's fierce towards you, man. He's just running after you. He loves you that way, and that's why he doesn't break down the door, but boy, does he knock. Hey, I'm still here. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Yeah, go ahead and open the door now because God's pursuing you. The best thing that you could ever do. I will share a meal with you together, break bread with you. There's nothing like eating a meal with somebody that you love, right, everybody? You ever eat a meal with somebody that doesn't like you? Doesn't go down, right? Oh, why did I get sick, man? That guy didn't like, or I didn't like him. Amen. Number three is this, amen. Here's number three. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I need a little affirmation. Come on, give me some love a little bit. Number three is this. I commit to possess you. And that's weird, again, a little bit if you look at it. But I want you to look at it in the sense of belonging. Because God wants you to belong to him. Yeah, he. God's not into you like this faith project. Like I gotta work on this guy. I gotta go up and do it again. No, or he messed up again. I'm gonna work with him again or work with her again. God considers you his very own. You're part of the house. Welcome home, right, everybody? It's a spirit of living faith. I hope we never lose it here. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation. Shout out the last sentence right there, the last thing. God's very own. Yeah. Why don't you even tell God the Father right now? Everybody practice with me. Say, I belong to you, Lord. Look up even. It helps you to think about, I belong to you, Father God.
I belong to you, Father God.
Yeah. Look up and say it. I belong to you, Father God.
I belong to you, Father God.
Yeah. Now tell your spouse, the one that you're with. If you didn't come with anybody, look at somebody that's near you. But you tell me, I belong to you. Yeah. Amen. I belong. My daughter was here in the first service, and she belongs to me. Until she gets married, amen. And she's still going to belong to me, amen. Yeah. My grandchildren are going to belong to me. Yeah, I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. And that's why when we tell each other our two today, I'm not my own. Anywhere I go, I belong to you. You possessed me. I'm not, even when I'm not with Irma, I'm still hers. And I behave like I'm hers. And likewise, she. And that's what keeps us safe today. Is that okay? Number four is this. I commit to protect you. And how many times has God protected us, all of us in this room? There's been so much junk that I've done in my life that has created a storm. Not a storm that I made that storm happen. I put the hot and the cold air together. I created the hurricane. I made it happen. And you know what God does? He still protects me. Amazing, right? When I blew it, God still helped me. Micah says this, Micah 7, how he desires to show mercy. God is just waiting for you not to really mess up. Some of us think this mentality, God's waiting for me to read my Bible this morning. God's waiting for me to pray for 30 minutes. God's waiting for me to, and it's good, you're a good boy today. But you know what else is God that's waiting for you? When you mess up. And if you look at God that way, you'll fall in love with him. Not that you're going to mess up, but everyone's going to blow it in this room. No one's arrived, right, until we get to heaven. And when you mess up, God is there just as much as when you read your Bible for 30 minutes. God, when you've blown it big time, God's right there. And his grace and mercy meet you there. That's what sort of God we serve, right, everybody? I want our lights to come down. I know you filled in the last one. You know what? Yeah, you can turn down the lights. Thank God you guys are here. I don't see you, but I know you're here somewhere. would somebody come help me at the keyboard? Mike, thank you. And I told the staff, give Mike Medrano a big hand. He doesn't like me to embarrass him. Mike's been on staff here about 4 years, and we pay him good, right? I'm glad to have Mike. We really don't pay him well. Y'all help me pay him. Okay, good. So, and Jamie Weimer serves as our church admin, and then Christina and Gabriel Martinez. Christina really serves as our youth pastor and our children's minister, the overseer of that. And I told them on Wednesday night, look, I'm your biggest fan. I looked at them eyeball to eyeball, each of them, Irma and I, and we're going to back you up. We're going to have your back if a storm comes, if something happens in your life, because we're committed to you. Now, if we hear about something, my first response would be, Mike, did that happen? Did that really? And if it did happen, you know how we're going to deal with it? Because we love Mike, we love Christina, we love Jamie. We're going to deal with it in love. We're going to cover them. Because that love covers a multitude of sins. And I would do that with our elders. I would do that with our leaders here. I would do with the people that are in covenant with me as we walk together, even during the storm. And so, he did, so can I. God did that. He protected me. The fifth one is this, finally, as I conclude, and you're going to get your last fill in the blank. You're going to want to move around and I pray that you won't. Just stay a little bit with me right now. I commit to purify you. Mario, you're going to blow it, and I'm going to give you a way out because I love you so much. You're going to get real dirty, Mario, with sin, and I'm still going to wash you. I'm going to cleanse you, Mario. Even though you deserve to stay dirty, I'm going to wipe you whiter than snow today. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to do that because you don't need me at this very moment, Mario, when you're all dirty to walk away from you like the world does. You need a Savior that would come and cleanse you today. That's the sort of people you need around you that are covenant keep people today. And that's why Ephesians 5:25 in the Message Bible, it says, husbands, go out of your way to love your wives exactly as Christ did the church. Love marked by getting? No, love marked by giving. And Christ's love makes the church whole. In other words, that's the picture. I'm going to restore you on your worst day, because that's when you don't need someone to walk out on you. You need somebody to be with you. His words will invoke her beauty. Everything he does, says, is designed to bring out the best in her, dressed her in dazzling white, radiant holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wife. And they're really doing themselves a favor since they're already that one in marriage, right, everybody? Yeah. Amen. It's a love that won't change. It's a love that is not self-loving. It doesn't demand repayment. It's a love that says, even when I'm rejected, I'm going to keep coming at you. Because how many times have we rejected Jesus? Even as Christians, right, in this room, if we're honest today. And that love keeps pursuing you. How many want that sort of love? I do, right? Yeah, it's agape love. Amen. Doesn't matter what you're going to do to me. I can't repay you. There's a debt too great today. I'm going to stay. Worldly headships, it's kind of like this. I'm the head of the family. I'm the head, and so you take your orders from me, and you got to do what I say. You know what godly headship? It's a little bit like this. I'm the head, and so I must care for you, and I must serve you. Worldly submissions like this. You must submit to me. And so you must do the things that I tell you to do, that I want you to do. And godly submission is this way. You must submit to me because I'm accountable to God for your life. And I must care for you and I must serve you today. There's this profound mystery in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. And it says this, it's a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the... It shows that Jesus wants to be more than external relationship. He wants to live within you. He doesn't want to have a surface thing. Adam and Eve, Adam wasn't complete until Eve came along. Do y'all realize that today? He was lonely. He was eating a dozen donuts at a time. He found Eve, man. Eve completed him today. He had that relationship. And that's the picture of Jesus in you today. You're his church. It's a mystery how he wants to become one with you today. And if you get that right, then the relationships that we have on this earth are made better today. Right? Let's pray. Father, we commit to prioritize right now you. As believers in this house, we commit to pursue you because you've pursued us, Lord. We commit to possess you, Lord, to say, God, you're mine. I belong to you. And we hear the whisper back today that you belong to me, my son, my daughter in this room. We commit, Lord, to protect your name and the ways of God in this room. We commit to that, Lord. Thank you how you protected us, Lord. We commit, Lord, to purify your name, to make it holy throughout the earth. And Father, you purified us to say that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your touch here in this house. As you continue to pray with me, you've dated God enough. And God is knocking at the door of your heart today. And you want to put the wedding ring on. You want to walk with God. You want to belong to God. You're far away from God. Today, God is saying today, this is your moment. How we do it at Living Faith is simply this way. I ask you to lift your hand gently. I'll note that hand. I'll lead you in a prayer. That altar will be your chair, basically. I won't embarrass you, but you need prayer right now. You're far away from God. You need to say yes to Jesus. I know God's dealing with you. He's dealing with you gently. He's a gentleman. He's knocking. If you need Jesus, you need to say yes to Him. Lift your hand slightly. I'll note that hand and lead you in a prayer. Who's that person here? God bless you, sir. God bless you, Miha. Yes, yes. Precious daughters in the Lord. God bless you, sir. Someone else making sure I saw your hand. God bless you, sir. I'm proud of you. Yeah, you're an awesome man. You're a man of God. You can put it down, sir. Someone else going to be brave. You realize Jesus did it all. He did it on the cross. He was the one that was brave. Anyone else? I think there was about 6 or 7 people. For the people that lifted their hand, pray it loud enough, this prayer that you'll repeat after me. You'll mean it in your heart. Pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. And then the ones that are saved by grace, the sinners like me that are saved by grace, you pray too. Encourage that person that lifted their hand. Let's pray this. Heavenly Father, receive my prayer today. I am a sinner, and I need your grace, Lord. I need your mercy. The blood of Jesus, his cross, he took upon all my sins, all my failures, all my shortcomings, and he makes me whole. He makes me new again. I need you, Lord. I live for you this day. The world is behind me. I take up my cross and I follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, for the 6 or 7, come on, bless them. Come on. Yeah, come on, yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for new life at Living Faith. Amen and amen. If you raise your hand, look at me, everybody. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to point out this book. It's a free book. Howard and Sonia Virial. Howard's one of our elders here at Living Faith Church. He'll